Jesus said it. He said, do this as often in remembrance of me. You rise when you understand the way of God. Oh, hallelujah. When you know, you know. Listen, what you have seen, you cannot see. You should not fear. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a system of atonement. That's what it's saying. You can engage the power of the blood for dominion and make up for that deficiency of the soul. How we love you, blessed Jesus. How many of you enjoyed the moment? Amen. Nobody? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. You know, I just feel like soaking. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter. We've been talking about dominion by the blood. We're talking about the system, the power system of the kingdom called the communion table. Amen. Hallelujah. Dominion by the blood. To rise in life, you must understand the protocol of blood. You must understand the way of blood. Amen. You see, God is not unawares. He's not oblivion. He's not ignorant of what is happening around the world. Neither is he ignorant of what is happening in your life right now. Before you showed up, before anything ever happened, God made provision. God pre-programmed systems that can release his power on the earth, in your life, in your family, in the city, in the nations. And that is a fact. And what he does is by revelation, he opens our eyes to see. And once we see and engage what is revealed, we produce results. Are you following me? And to summarize how the kingdom works is just what I said. So God has, for example, let's talk about the laws of the farm. You see, if you get a portion of land and just cultivate it and till and put a seed in the ground has been programmed to yield a harvest. True or false? It's a program. Before you came, the ground was programmed to yield a harvest. And God has put these things, pre-programmed them so his children are not stranded. So we don't struggle and stress and get frustrated and all that. He doesn't want that happening. Because of that, he went ahead to pre-program systems of power, systems of grace, systems that release the omnipotence of heaven, systems that release the power of the ages to come, the powers of heaven. We'll call it the hidden powers of heaven in the life of a believer now. Listen, Christianity is a supernatural life. Christianity is a life of power. We are a people of power. We're a people of glory. We're a people of dominion. Hallelujah. In case you have a doubt about that, go to the book of Acts and read the story, the accounts of the early church. Why is it called the book of Acts? Because they acted and they saw the power of God. Because they engaged the systems of God's power. They knew the power of prayer. They knew the power of fellowship. They knew the power of breaking bread. Amen. They broke bread from house to house. Magi balagaya. They knew the power of worship. They knew the power of intercession. They knew the power of proclaiming the gospel. They knew the power of the name of Jesus. They had the name as a revelation. And they thought that the name should work, and it worked. They were convinced and expected it to work, and it worked. Peter, the other day at the gate called Beautiful, met the man that was crippled, who never walked from birth. And he looked at him. He said, the man was looking at them to receive alms. He was begging alms there. And he said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter expected the name to work. So when the man didn't stand up, go and read it again, he didn't stand up. It's like a man had a history of unbelief. On two occasions, Jesus passed by that man to go to the temple, but he was not healed. That was the same temple that Jesus went to. And the Bible says the man was there every day, including when Jesus was around. Oh, glory to God. Oh, here comes Peter. You see this man, the name works, and he took him. He took him. He didn't say, again, in Jesus' name, walk. No. He took him by the right hand. We're supernatural people. We're a supernatural church. And the church that Jesus is coming for is the church that is fully activated.
Yes, sir.
A church where not just the pulpit, but the pew is activated. Activated in the power of God. You're a businessman, but you are full of power. You're a fashion person, but you are full of power. You're a farmer, but you are full of power. You're a lecturer, but you are full of power. You're a politician, but you are full of power. You understand how God's systems of power operates. You know by revelation how to engage them. In Genesis chapter 14, we saw that Abraham, by revelation, was given the mystery of tithing. And when he engaged it, he gave him dominion over the nations. What happened? He gave the man the tithe of all. And the man proclaimed me the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Proclaim me a possessor of heaven, and that's dominion. He knew that was a system of dominion. How did he know? By revelation. Why? He was a prophet. He was not a self-acclaimed prophet, but a God-proclaimed prophet. Genesis chapter 20 verse 7. God told Abimelech, he said, go and meet this man. He is a prophet, and he will pray for you. So prophets are people that have revelation from God. It was revealed to him that there is a system in the universe that when you release the tenth part, you go into wealth and financial dominion. Listen, what Abraham had was financial dominion. What Solomon had was not financial freedom. It was financial dominion. But they engaged definite systems. They engaged definite understanding. Definite, they had revelation from God. And acted on those revelations and had uncommon results. Uncommon. Blessed be Abraham of God, possessor of the heavens and the earth. Give him the tithe of all. Give him the tithe of all. Let me just say this. You know, the Hebrew word for tithe there is ma'ashar. Ma'ashar. Ashar means wealth and riches. That's what it means. In fact, ashar is the root word from where they get tenth from. The tenth or the tithe from. So when you check the Hebrew word for tenth, is ashar. Or asar, which is the derivative of ashar. It means wealth. It means riches. It means abundance. What does that tell you? That the wealth and the riches and the abundance is in the tithe. Hope you know unbelievers pay tithe. Go and find out. Some of you, when you read business, they talk about 10% to charity. What do you think that is? Now, how many of you have read business books here where they suggested 10% of your income goes to charity? Let me see your hand. You read business books. The rest of you are not reading business books. When you read it, you find it there. And read them. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Interestingly, maybe we'll begin from Genesis 14 in talking about blood. The communion table. Genesis 14, give me verse 19. Verse 19. Genesis 14. We'll pick it up from there before going to Hebrews. Genesis 14. Yeah, from verse 18. Verse 18. You can start from verse 17. Is somebody excited in church this morning? You can start from verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet with him. That's with Abraham. After he returned from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, the bully, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's deal. Verse 18. Read it for me. One, two, go. Put it up. Verse 18. One, two, go, church. Hold on. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. That is a communion element. I tell people that the interaction or the conversation in Genesis 14 is not an Old Testament conversation. Number one, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. You remember? Number two, he brought forth bread and wine. The same thing that Jesus brought forth the night that he was betrayed. Before he went to the cross, he brought forth bread and wine. He broke the bread and gave them. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." He took the cup and blessed it and gave them. He said, "This is the blood of the New Testament in my name. Take and drink." It's no coincidence that the same thing Melchizedek brought forth was what Jesus brought forth as a symbol of his body and of his blood. His body broken for us, his blood shed for us, for our victory, for our dominion, for our Passover, for our advantage on the earth. The same thing Melchizedek brought for bread and wine. And in the midst of that bread and wine, he proclaimed blessing upon Abraham. He released the blessing. He activated what has been on Abraham. The Bible says he blessed him that had the promise. Are you following? He brought forth bread and wine. Bread and wine. Bread and wine. We read in the first service, Hebrews. I'm going to go to Hebrews. Not now. Hebrews, I'll just quote it. Hebrews 12, 24. And I told you that the blood is our foundation. I said the blood is our is the foundation of our priesthood and our kingship. Hebrews 12, 24. You see, you've come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You've come unto the blood of sprinkling. The blood that speaketh. The blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So why is it Hebrews 12 and 24? 12 is a number of authority and dominion. That's kingship. 24 is a number of priesthood. To show you that the foundation of our priesthood is the blood of Jesus. Are you getting that? The foundation of our worship is the blood of Jesus. The foundation of our intercession is the blood of Jesus. The foundation of our approaching God is the blood of Jesus. We don't approach God based on our righteousness. No, we don't. We don't. Our righteousness, or what we call right living, has blessings on the earth and reward in heaven. Don't forget that. But you see, when it comes to approaching God, that is not the way or the terms by which you approach God. You come to God through the way of blood. Are you listening? Through the way of blood is the foundation of all of the blessings. Is the foundation. Hallelujah. So we have five revelations of blood from scriptures. From the first time blood was mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. When God told Cain, you can put it up now, Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. When God told Cain, he said, "What is this that you have done? For the blood, the voice of thy brother's blood, crieth unto me from the ground." So blood speaks. Blood has a voice and blood speaks. That's the first thing. Blood has a voice and blood speaks. What you partake of in your house or in church that we call communion has a voice. Don't forget that the things of the spirit, they function by understanding. Meaning in this kingdom, your understanding of what you do is more important than what you do. When you do it with understanding, results are guaranteed. When you do it with understanding, the partnership or the path of the spirit being fulfilled is guaranteed. You don't just do it for doing it sake. You do it with understanding. Why do we pray? Why must God answer? Understanding. You have to understand. How do we approach God? I just told you, in the way of blood. Understand it. The blood speaks, and the blood speaks better things. The blood is speaking protection for us. The blood is speaking preservation for us. Oh, we're going to get there. The blood is speaking prosperity for us. The blood is speaking strength into our inner man. Strength into our inner man. Strength into our inner man. I believe in the speaking blood. Hallelujah. I dealt with that extensively in the first service. Number two. And that's the second revelation we see from scripture of what the blood does. Is somebody here? Number two, blood is life. Oh, blood is life. Now, in Deuteronomy 17 verse 11, you can put it up. Deuteronomy 17 verse 11. This is very serious. You see, when you understand this, maybe let me make the connection before I go forward. Hebrews chapter 12 has a context. So when you go to 24 and it says, and you have come unto Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Don't forget that there is a context to it. Paul was presenting an argument comparing the two covenants. He talked about the covenant that was given at Sinai. And by the way, the new covenant is different from the Old Testament portion of the Bible. They are very different. There are many covenants that God had with men. What is referred to as the Old Covenant started in Exodus 19. Are you following me? It started with Moses. That means Abraham was not under the Old Covenant. He had his own covenant. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. Noah was not in the Old Covenant. As far as the right meaning of Old Covenant is concerned. Is somebody following me? But he lived in the Old Testament portion of the Bible and also had his own covenant with God. God called a covenant with Noah. Glory to God. So, the Old Covenant really started on Mount Sinai with Moses. And that was the comparison Paul was making. That the writer of Hebrews. In that Hebrews 12, he was talking about how that there was such blackness and all that and tempest on Mount Sinai, and the men could not stand the voice that thundered from heaven. Even Moses, that used to Skype with God, was afraid. You know Moses? He was such a senior prophet. He saw God face to face. But on this mountain, even him, the Bible says he trembled. That's what he was saying. But he said, we have come unto Mount Zion. We have arrived on Mount Zion. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come unto the neighboring community of angels and all that. And then he gets to this part and he says, this blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. This blood speaks better things than the blood that was shed in the old covenant. Don't forget that the old covenant also was powered by blood. But the blood of goats and sheep and the ashes of heifer, the blood of animals. But he's saying this blood speaks better things. The same Hebrew talks about we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Why is he a covenant? Blood is involved. Even the Abrahamic covenant was ratified by blood. God told him in Genesis 15, he said, go and get turtle dove, pigeons, goats, kid, cut these ones into two. Let the blood flow. I will call the covenant between you and I. So you cannot talk about covenant without blood. Are you following me? But when Jesus came, he made the last of all sacrifices. And he gave his blood to provide atonement. Hebrews says, to make available the seal of man's eternal redemption. He dealt with the sin problem once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. Are you here? So what happened? You can go back to Leviticus now. Leviticus, I said, Leviticus what? Leviticus 17 verse 11. Quick. Verse 11 then verse 14. It says, Leviticus. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Are you seeing that? And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, oh God. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. We are going to get there. It's another revelation of blood. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. But he said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Give me verse 14. Give me verse 14. It says, for it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whereof eateth it not. So that one he was talking about telling not to eat the blood of animals. But here's the point. Life, blood is life. So if Jesus, remember what Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, John 14, I believe. No, John, in fact, from John 6. He said, if you don't eat my flesh, you have no part in me. If you don't drink my blood, you have no part in me. The Bible says the Pharisees and the Jews were offended. They said, how are we going to eat your flesh? Are we cannibals? How are we going to drink your blood? In fact, at the point, many of his disciples were offended at his saying. And they turn from following him. He said, if you don't eat my flesh, you have no portion in me. If you don't drink my blood, you don't have my life. He said, for my flesh is meat indeed. Oh. He said, for my flesh is meat indeed. Is food indeed. That was what he was saying. They didn't understand him, they were offended. In the same vein, many Christians still don't understand these things. He said the life of every living thing is in the blood. That means when his blood gushed out, they pierced his side. They busted, that was his heart. Go and read it. The position that they thrust the spear into was where his heart was. And the blood gushed out. Oh, glory to God. The blood gushed out. His life was poured out. As a libation. As an offering for us, in exchange for our life. When we talk about the doctrine of substitution, he poured out his life so we can have his life. He took upon him our sin so we can have his righteousness. Blood is life, we heard God say. So God knew it. He knew it. He needed a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for humanity's sin, for humanity's redemption. He sent his son that knew no sin. He sent Jesus, his sinless son. He said, the prince of this world cometh and found nothing in me. And that man was missing. And he shed his blood. He poured out his blood. He poured out his life. For what? For us. He poured out his life. What does that mean? Remember he gave them, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this often. He said, as often as you drink this blood and eat this flesh, you do show the Lord's death till he returns. You are now understanding it. You do show the Lord's death. What happened is that he poured out his life. So when you partake of his body and drink his blood, you know what you're doing. You are taking of his life. This is why when you do this with understanding, death has to flee from your life. Death and whatever death represents has to flee. You and death become mutually exclusive. Why? You are taking in life. You are taking in life. You are taking in life. Life is in the blood. Death has to flee. Have the understanding. Listen, sickness is incipient death. So sickness is an expression of death. Are you aware? So what happens when you take the communion on sickness? What happens when you take the communion on sickness? It has to flee. Why? Life has come. Life has come. You have a terrible dream and you are worried. What should you do? Break bread and drink blood. And make incantations. And chase out the death with life. Are you listening? Life has come. You have a habit that has become a bondage of the soul. That's an expression of death. Don't let it stay in your body. Don't let it stay in your mind. Don't let it stay in your life. Apply the blood. Drink the life of God. He said, for my body is meat indeed. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Is somebody getting blessed? Number three, revelation. From scriptures about the blood. The blood is the material for atonement for the soul. Oh God. Again, that Leviticus 17:11. Now, this is atonement means a system of makeup, a system of making up for infirmity and weaknesses. That's what atonement means. Atonement is to make up. To atone means to make up. Now, what did he say? He said, for I have given you blood upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Look up at me, everyone. Listen, because you live in a body, because you are still on earth, there are limitations of your soul. Listen to me very carefully. You see, it's unfortunate that the people on the other side understand this very well. This is why when your politician comes to campaign, he does not really believe that it's your vote that will put him in power. What confidence does a man who has been charged of corruption have to appear again to be re-elected? He understands that there is a system in the realm of the spirit that makes up for the limitation of the soul. Atonement means to make up for deficiencies. Somebody writes exam in school. She answers one question out of six. She's a Christian. She feels she has failed. You don't understand God's system. I have given blood for atonement for the soul. You could not write what will make you pass because of the limitation of your soul. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you couldn't remember. But there's a system of atonement. There's a system of atonement. That's what he's saying. You can engage the power of the blood for dominion and make up for that deficiency of the soul. I've done it before. And so the guy is contesting. They've charged him about corruption. Then he comes and his campaign, he votes for me again. You insult him and insult him. Guess what? He'll win the election again. Christians have no knowledge. We are just doing Facebook and feeling cool and dressing well. Spiritual things. We are forming big boys and big girls. We will be slaves for long. Not because God wants it, but because we are not ready to engage what works for us. You will complain. Are they not winning? You are quiet now. Blood as an atonement. He goes to meet a man. That's honorable. This thing is not good. Though. People are angry with you. You say, Baba, what should I do? Hi. And it's okay. Bring this. Some animal sacrifice, some human sacrifice. Why do people disappear during elections? No, if you think it's just corrupt, it's because they have power over police to rig election. No, there's a spiritual undertone. Those things are just outward. He brings blood. And then the blood starts speaking. And the blood is seen as a makeup for his soul. Listen, you have a makeup for the limitations of your soul. Oh, did somebody hear that? You went to submit proposal in a prison. Everybody who dropped stuff there, schooled abroad. And then you are standing there with inferiority complex. You have a system of makeup. Everybody who dropped that went to Ivy League school. You went to Nigerian League school. And then suddenly, you know, something tells you in your mind, you can't get this. Why? The limitation of your soul. The natural disadvantages. But he said, I have given the blood as a makeup. Oh God. I have given the blood as a makeup. I have given the blood as a makeup. Listen, let me tell you something about the old covenant. How did he operate? The high priest once a year would carry the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies with something tied to his waist, with bells on his chest, so that in case he didn't fulfill the requirement of priesthood and he falls and dies, nobody's going to go there. If you go there, you're dead. They pull him out. Are you following me? And when he goes in once a year, he covers for all the sins of Israel for 1 year.
Yes, sir.
Now the moment he comes out and is accepted, they rejoice. They know they are accepted with Jehovah and they were going to prosper. Their ground was going to produce for a whole year. Hi. That's why the writer of Hebrews say that if this thing was done once in a year and it could still not carry, could not carry away the consciousness of sin, how much more? How much more? How much more? He said, Christ who offered himself without the gates is able to purge your conscience from every dead works. Who offered himself by the Spirit as an eternal offering is able to purge your conscience. He's able to purge your conscience so that there is no more consciousness of sin. Sin means to miss the mark. That's what they say. We don't sin deliberately, but when we get it wrong, we have a system. We have a system. Do you know it's in the Bible? We have a system. We have a system of makeup. We have a system of atonement. We have a propitiation for our sins. God did that so you are not trapped. When you come and you don't have natural advantage, you have a system of makeup. What happened? What? Of course, you went to school. You heard of makeup test, makeup exam. Meaning you were not there. That means you were disadvantaged. Then the lecturer was gracious. He said, okay, come and take a makeup. A cover up. What happened when you take a makeup test? It's as though you were there when others took their conscious assessment. You are equalized. Are you getting it now? I've given the blood as an atonement. So you see, the realm of the spirit, the universe respect laws. If the bad guy is going to use it and you are not going to use it, he will take what belongs to you. You already have a sacrifice. You have a sacrifice. We have a speaking blood. We have a system of atonement. A system of cover up. This is to give us boldness as we interact in the marketplace. As we go forth in the marketplaces of life. This is to give us boldness. Uncommon boldness. That we have a makeup. So your natural disadvantages are not important. That you came from a village that is not on the map is not important. That you had a third class in school is okay. It's not important. There's an atonement for your soul. You can still fulfill your destiny. And by the way, this educational system does not define who you are. Oh yes, it doesn't. Don't let it trap you. It does not. Make sure you have an A in life. That's the most. Have an A. Be focused. Set your sails for an A life. A first class life. Have a first class in school if you can. But most importantly, have a first class in life. And to have a first class in life, you must understand the ordinances of heaven. You must know how to set their dominion on the earth. You must understand the systems of God's power by revelation and how to engage them for your advantage to deliver yourself, your family, the city, the nations, and our generation. The dominion of the blood. I have given the blood as a makeup. I have given the blood as an atonement. Use it. Hallelujah. Use it. Use it. This is God's mercy system. When we say the Lord is merciful and gracious, it's not automatic. There's a lens with which His mercy works. It's the blood. Why is the atonement? Mercy, you submitted the proposal. You had giants there. By paper, they were more qualified than you. Why should you get it? Mercy. What is the machinery that works the mercy? Blood. That means every time God looks at the sacrifice of His Son. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, there's no time. That means as we are talking now, the lamb is slain. Oh, The blood is fresh. Do you understand? Oh, what did the Bible say? He said the lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. How could that be possible? Because God lives in timeless eternities. That means the past is happening now, the present is happening now, the future is happening now. As we are talking, the lamb is being slain. As we are talking, the blood is fresh. As we are talking, what God sees is fresh blood. Heya, malako de balatosa. Are you here? Listen, the Bible said Jesus went into the heavenly of holies. Listen, oh, the Bible says we have a high priest. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. Brothers and sisters, you see, when you read that portion of the Bible, don't speed read it. Look at it. You have a high priest. Politicians boast of Baba in the village with their shrine in the bush. Our own shrine is in the third heaven. Are you listening? Listen, there are no high priests without shrine. We have a high priest in the heavenly shrine. We have a high priest. You know, when I see short things from scriptures, I'm spared. I'm spared. He said, for we have a high priest. We have a high priest. Whoever liveth, present continuous. You are seated in church. Your high priest is performing on your behalf. We have a high priest. Listen, this is why we can conquer the systems of the world. This is why we can conquer the cosmos. This is why we can take over. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. Think about this all through the week. I have a high priest. The Bible says he's passed into the heavens. Listen, the high priest on earth sits it. The high priest on earth cannot carry themselves to where your high priest is. So when they are done, why should you be charmed? Listen, you cannot cast a spell upon a prophet. You cannot cast a spell upon a Christian who knows who he is. You can't cast a spell upon us. How? How will the spell work? It will take blood, incantations, and altars. And every of the ones that they used to cast were there on earth. Our own blood is in heaven. Blood is in heaven. Our altar is in heaven. Are you listening? Our high priest is in heaven. Which incantations? Which spell? Which spell? Can you cast spell against God? He said, now you want to conjure. He is not in your radar. He's not in your radar. Makobalako Soshoto. Is somebody hearing me? You can't cast a spell on a believer who understands the protocol of blood. No, you can't. You can, it cannot work. They will do and do and do. It cannot work. It cannot work. Cast spell. Years ago, somebody sent someone to me. Sent a bad boy to me. He's the head of a cult. Somebody said, I'm interfering with his operations. That should come and tell me that I'm interfering with his operations in the territory, in the place. I said, go and tell him he's a dead man. He has not showed up till now. Whoever it is that sent you, go and tell him he's a dead man. That was years ago. Something rose up from within me. You should cast the spell. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. We have a blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. And even, you see, why do our words carry power on the earth? Because of the altar backing us up. Because of the shrine backing us up. You know what I think? You know the way I think? I have a high priest in heaven who has my name on his lips. Constantly on his lips. Saying, Dr. Caris, I am a wealth, you are blessed. You are prospering. The mountains are subdued before you. What is confession? The teaching of confession in the charismatic and Pentecostal move. What is really confession? Confession is from the Greek word homologio. It means to say the same thing. Now, to say the same priest with same thing with who? With your high priest. That's what confession is. Your high priest is saying something about you. But on earth, you are the deciding witness. That means confession, you are saying the same thing that your high priest is saying. Sometimes when you are not sure what to say, speak in tongues. You'll be right. You'll be correct. You'll be correct. Speak in tongues. You'll be correct. The way of blood. Can I have the communion ministers? The way of blood. Listen, there is no disadvantage for us. God is not ignorant. I don't know if you understand. God is not limited. I think that's the right word. God is not limited. God is not limited by us. Oh, hallelujah. We have a high priest. We have a speaking blood. Is this church sleeping? We have a high priest. We have a speaking blood. We have a high priest. We have a speaking blood. So when they say, is this virus or this one or kidnapping or virus this, we have a high priest. We have a high priest. We have a speaking blood. Don't act as though God is confused. God is not confused. God is not confused. The Bible says, if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Oh, glory to God.
Have you read it in your Bible? That means if they mix a virus inside plates, inside cup, and you drink it, it should not hurt you. They dilute it and you drink it, it should not hurt you. Hey! They mix it, or they make it to do pap, and you drink it. It should not hurt you. That's the way you should think. I heard in Lagos, some people were trying not to go to church today because of one. If the devil wants to kill you, he kill in your house. If he is in church, you get Ebola or whatever the names are called. In church, which God did you come to worship? In church. It will catch you somewhere else, not in church. Are you listening? It's not compatible with this atmosphere. No, it's not. It cannot. The Bible says, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Hey, he said, beautiful things are spoken of you, O city of God. Beautiful things, glorious things. Glorious things are spoken. What is Zion? The gathering of God's people. Like this is part of the definition of Zion. He said, the Lord is in the midst of her. The Lord is in the midst of her. Speak in tongues, everybody. Just pray in the Spirit. Come be on our feet. Look up at me. We are going to break bread. which is his body, and drink the cup, which is his blood. No matter what affliction, you know, between first and second service, somebody came to share a testimony with me. She wasn't staying for second service, and I directed her to write it down. You see, this is no joke. The presence of God can terminate any affliction. She's a nursing mother. She was pregnant with that baby. She brought the baby for me to pray for. She was pregnant with that baby. She just comes to church. They don't really stay around in jobs. When around, she comes to church and all that. But we are known from campus. When she said, I remember when she came to this altar with her pregnancy to kneel. Some of you remember, those that know her. When she came to the altar to kneel, her first baby at 32 weeks. Issues. Lost the baby. Second baby at 32 weeks, the same thing started. Gave birth to the baby, but lots of complications. She was pregnant. She said that day was 32 weeks. Or days before was 32 weeks. And the funny symptoms are started. You think that's normal? She came and stayed here. She had gone to the hospital. They told her the amniotic fluid level was not enough. The baby is going to come out. At 32 weeks, she came and stayed here. That baby stayed till 37 weeks and was born normally, no complications. No complications. If I can't remember, she said, I lay down on her and told her, God has wiped away your tears. I can't remember. You remember, you stand close to me. See, God has wiped away your tears. I had no clue, I had no idea. I've not seen her for a long time. Are you listening? The blood is God's last card. Meaning, Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt, they escaped many miracles, signs, but not the blood. That's God's last card. Nothing escapes the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Nothing. Nothing. No affliction, no poverty, no trouble. No arrow from hell. Nothing. When God dropped the last card of blood, the gods of Egypt were crying. Have you ever heard gods cry? Shabalato sotaba. Pharaoh said, let them go. Let them go. I want you to maximize the communion table. I said, that is God's last card. When he drops it, the game is over. Speak in tongues. When he drops it for that family, for the city, for the territory, for your life, the game is over in your favor. So I want you to be serious. All this looking around will not take you anywhere. Life is spiritual. Your suffering will continue. Get serious about the things we're talking about. Get serious. Regabeletos. Hallelujah. 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 Listen up. Listen, to think there is another way. To think there's another way to fulfill your destiny apart from what God has made available is deception. It's a very big deception. The earlier you agree that, look, life is spiritual, my journey in life. Listen, you can't keep a man because you have a fine face. Not in the 21st century. You must know better than that. Are you listening? You know, it's hilarious. As a pastor, you have to help people. It's hilarious when people start trying to get spiritual because of crisis. Especially people that have been going to church for a long time. It's sadness. Why not be a spiritual person? Always ready for what comes. It's where you are not trying to... Your husband started misbehaving. That's why you are not trying to gather and try to... What's that? You are supposed to be on fire before it happened. Are you listening? It's my job to teach you this. Life is spiritual. And you cannot be passive about the spirituality of life. You can't.
If you don't need it now, you need it later. Every area of life, finances, career, job, business, marriage, life will test you, will test your conviction about the spirituality of life. So maximize the table. Father, we thank you. Precious Jesus, thank you for your body broken for us. Crushed that we may be whole. We put our faith in the I Am. The Bible says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You are Passover. And our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. Thank you for your blood shed and poured out on Calvary. We have the victory, we have the advantage, we have the dominion. We give you praise. We give you glory. Can you open your mouth and voice your expectations as the bread comes to you?
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
can take the communion and start releasing words. Everything voiced as expectations, everything released as prayer points, as declaration by your people. I stand upon this altar, I stand in this blood, and I declare that those prayer points, those desires, those expectations are turned to testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, somebody is returning with testimonies. From this communion service, somebody is returning with testimonies. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Our faithful high priest. We live here knowing that we have a high priest. We have a speaking blood. Oh, we return with boldness. We return conquering and to conquer. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. A shout of praise. Amen. Are you done? Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.